Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
One of the years he was in the NFL, he led him in tackles, Super Bowl, multiple Pro Bowls. Jonathan Vildman's now a Fox Sports NFL analyst, and we've had him as part of our team for a while, but we've never really seen him in person. That's kind of the way our world works for the last year, so he is here, the former Miami Hurricane. Yeah, you played on the national champion. Didn't you beat Nebraska?
Pummeled
at the,
Nebraska.
At the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I just wanted to give you the right adjective for it.
You only had like four fans there, but they had the
didn't matter.
fans there. So, you know, it's interesting. We're talking about Big Ben. First hour of the show. Listen, they haven't won a meaningful playoff game in a decade. And I understand Ben is part of the culture. But you guys all know when you get to a locker room, maybe it's harder to do this with yourself, but you can look around the room and go, he's shot. And if you privately or anonymously asked Steeler players about Ben, who, by the way, never been fully committed in the offseason, never been a tape study guy, never been a good practice player. If it was private and you asked guys about Ben, would they say, yeah, it's kind of time to start over there at quarterback?
Oof. Now, I'll go back to your first comment of you can look at a guy and say he's shot, right? But he's clearly not the player he was before, but is he still productive? And that's the key. Is he still better than 20, 25 of the other quarterbacks in the NFL? And I would argue yes, because he doesn't turn the ball over. He was scoring touchdowns. He was throwing the football. And that's all you can ask for. Where the Pittsburgh Steelers went wrong and why Ben got exposed was because they had no run game. They relied on Ben so much as opposed to getting back to who they are, who they were. And what I remember going against them in 2010, it was run first, then Ben will make some magic happen and make a couple throws to win the game. But it was always run first, play defense, and they got away from that. And so you get back to, if I'm the Steelers, you get back to what has always been your foundation, defense and run game, and then let Ben win a couple games for you, but don't put it all on his shoulders.
Dak Prescott, would you be bitter if you were the quarterback and you couldn't get a long-term deal? Now, Dallas has no state tax, and 37 large goes a long way. But would you be bitter?
I would definitely be bitter. But if you look at Jerry Jones, what has he always done? He's a marketing guy. He's a marketing machine. Look at how he handled the Ezekiel Elliott contract situation. And I look at it from, since I'm now a media guy, right? I have to look at it from that lens. And I say, man, you know what? For a team that is mediocre, we sure talked about them a lot when Ezekiel Elliott was going through contract negotiations, et cetera. There were 31 other teams we could talk about, 10 of them really, really good and going to compete for a Super Bowl. But instead, we were all locked in on the Dallas Cowboys and Zeke and Jerry Jones, et cetera, et cetera. Here we are again, fast forward now to Dak Prescott, who we know is going to get paid. I don't know if it's a long-term, $100 million, whatever it is, he's going to get paid. I believe Jerry Jones is going to string it out. And why is he going to string it out? Because it's the offseason. Dallas Cowboys stunk. They didn't make the playoffs. When are we going to talk about them again? Who knows? But we'll talk about them now. And he keeps the Dallas Cowboys and that star always on the front line of football whenever we're talking about it in the offseason.
So I'm not a big fan of telling players to take pay cuts, but there are moments when you're part of a championship team and you've made stacks of money. You're in Tampa. Let's say you're a linebacker in Tampa. You've made good money.
If I'm Levante David, is that where we're going?
Would you take a little less?
1,000%.
Shaq Barrett?
No chance.
Why not?
Shaq, there's two types of players right there. Levante David, one, he already had his big contract. And what I believe is the best of him is less on the field, more off the field in the locker room. Great leader, works hard. He's been there on the low of the lows to now the high of the highs. And there was one thing that was consistent was his play and his leadership. So I would take a pay cut if I'm him because I know the value that I bring outside of just making tackles and interceptions. Shaq Barrett, he was a problem. He was a problem. And it was all season long.
You can't block him.
No, you can't. So him, I'm saying, I am one of the best at my position right now. I deserve to get paid.
Yeah. What do you do with Chris Godwin? I mean, they're so deep at wide receiver. He had some drops in the postseason.
He did. Do you define Chris Godwin just from the postseason and those drops, or do you define him from the whole season and how good he did play?
Well, he missed some games early.
He did. Who are you going to rely on? We already know Mike Evans, he's a phenom. Now after that, if you take away Godwin, are you solely reliant on Antonio Brown if he comes back, 33 years old? Does he still have it? I don't know. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. If I'm the GM, I want to sign him back. And you look at those drops and you say, that's abnormal. That's an anomaly for who he had been.
All right.
That's the way I would look at it.
Yeah. Players don't like to talk about money with other players, but could there be a collective thing here? Like, let's just give it one more year. Have you ever heard players say that after your Super Bowl? I'm going to take a little cut. One year, I'm going to take a cut. The players talk like that?
Never heard that.
It's like mobsters and athletes. Don't talk about another guy's money.
Yeah, we never talked about another player's money, contract situation. And what I would always tell the young guys, I was like, look, first things first, go get paid.
Yeah.
Right? Do play as well as you can play, stats, et cetera, and then go get paid. After that, now you can start thinking about what, you know, the veterans think about is your legacy and winning and playoffs, et cetera. And it's funny that you mentioned it because it all falls in line when you really think about it. If I can get this young rookie, second, third year player to play out of his mind because all he's thinking about is getting paid, right? That's great for us. That's great for the team. That's great for the organization. Him playing at his highest level means that we're going to be a better team. That's what we got him here for. So I was always fine with telling the young guys, go, get your stats, go out there. I would love for you to get 20 sacks. Love for you to do it. Cam Jordan, get as many sacks as you can, my man. I would love that. And you know what? Get paid off of doing it. That part, it never, you know, conflicted with the main objective, which is to win. Because if I can get them playing at their highest level with the right mindset, we're going to win games.
Joey and I were talking about this earlier. Howie Long always jokes you can't have two Hall of Fame quarterbacks in the same room because one sucks out the oxygen. So quarterback is the only position in football where there's one. And now increasingly, the Eagles draft Jalen Hurts in the second round. Increasingly, the Raiders bring in Marcus Mariota. Increasingly, big college football powers bring in 2 5-star quarterbacks in the same year. One has to transfer. So do you look at that and think, about damn time? They always have eight linebackers on the team. We got 9 corners. Quarterbacks have to compete. Or do you, and Joy mentioned this, or, you know, is the reality of the position is, if you bring in even Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers is like, ah, I don't want to take any. You know, Brady wouldn't let Garoppolo take snaps at practice. Is there part of you that that loves the fact that quarterbacks have to live your reality now?
100,000%. Love it. Love it. I love that they have to go into training camp and they look over their shoulder and like, all right, I got to perform, right? And, you know, I like the fact that you're talking about, you mentioned Brady, you mentioned Rodgers. These are uber competitive guys, right? There's alpha males and they're the top dog alpha males. And I love the fact that they brought someone in and they didn't go and complain and run to us and talk about, you know, what's the organization doing, blah, blah, blah. They went out and competed. They went out and showed themselves why Aaron Rodgers is MVP of the NFL, right? That's what they did because they're competitors. So part of me believes that you get twofold. You get one, the obviously Jordan Love, be able to sit under a Hall of Famer, watch him and progress. Two, you get the best out of Aaron Rodgers now because he's like, you know what? Let me show you how you messed up by drafting this guy. Let me show you who Aaron Rodgers really is. Goes out MVP, 13-3. You know, it's phenomenal.
You know, I ask this question every year after a season because I love the NFL draft. I'm fascinated by it. And I ask this too much, but it's late February, almost March, and April's the draft.
Okay.
But now people are going to be having workouts and people are sizing players up now. We start talking mock draft.
Okay.
In your NFL career, all the homework done, how long does it take for a rookie to come into camp and Jonathan Vilma says, dude can't play?
Ooh.
You had to have at least one of those guys in your career.
Minicamp.
So minicamp.
Minicamp. You can see it. Minicamp, you can see if a dude flat out can't play. The tricky one or tricky part is, will he bite?
What do you mean?
So you have everyone looks good in shorts, 6'3", 240, I run a 4'4", blah, blah, blah. They can move around. And so you'll see in minicamp, all right, this guy can move. You know, he can play. What you want to find out now is, will he bite? And what I mean by that is, we're in pads. It's 9-on-7. Is he going to go tackle? Is he going to go hit the fullback, the offensive lineman, whatever you're supposed to do? On the flip side, if you're a running back, and Sean Payton, he'd love to do this. Middle of training camp, everyone's tired. First period, he just blow the whistle. All right, this is live, goal line. Why is he doing that? He wants to see where we are mentally, right? So now you want to see, is this rookie going to go and really run through in a live drill and run somebody over, put them on the ground? Is he going to make a tackle? So that's what I talk about, biting, right? Are they going to bite? Because they can bark all day long about the 4-4. I run a 4-4, I'm this, I'm that. But can he go and make a tackle, or is he going to get physical when you need him to? And not just every time when it's situational, it's now, let's go. That's the hard one. The guys that you can't figure out, is he going to bite or not? You don't know. It takes a little bit.
So I'll tell you a story, and then I'll ask you about a late-round or undrafted guy that surprised you. So when I was a kid, I went to Eastern Washington University, and the Seahawks held their camp there. I think I've told Joy this. And so you get a program, and we had Jim Zorn, and we had Steve Hutchinson, offensive lineman. We had Steve Largent.
There were three. He was really good.
Steve Hutch was great.
Really good, yeah.
And so we go to camp. First day at practice, number 41, Colgate safety, lights up Steve Largent. And we're like, oh! And we're like, Colgate? That's a toothpaste. What is Colgate? His name was Eugene Robinson. First practice. I mean, first practice, you're like, he's like the second best player on the team. Go back to one player that nobody knew him, late round, and two or three practices in, guys were like, oh my. By the way, Rams Jordan Fuller, 6th-round pick.
Yeah.
I heard about two practices in, he lit a guy up. They were like, oh my God, how did that guy go in the – and he had some physical issues at Utah. It was like, how is that guy not a first-round pick?
Late-round guy – I have a really good one. Jolon Dunbar, he was undrafted. And first, let me just go to how he even got onto the team. So he wasn't even our first rookie free agent that we signed on. He was the second one. And the only reason he came was because the first one was late to a meeting. So my linebacker coach, Joe Vitt, he's like one of those guys, like, you're only as good as we need you, right? One of those types of guys. So the guy comes late. He says, how come you're late? Oh, I overslept. He said, okay. Next day, gone. So now in comes Jolon Dunbar. I told Jolon, and I tell all the rookies the same thing. I said, look, don't worry about the X's and O's. Just go out there and hit somebody. I promise you, if you hit people, they'll find a spot for you. I promise you, you're a defensive guy. So sure enough, he goes out, has no idea how to line up. But just like, as you mentioned, Eugene Robinson, he was just lighting guys up, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, who is that? Oh, okay. Maybe a little slow, maybe a little undersized, but he's going to hit you. He's going to bite. That's what we wanted to know. He's going to bite.
He had the fight.
He had the fight, and he ended up making the team, ended up being a starter for us for a few years, ended up with, you know, about an 8-year career. It was good, undrafted. Like I said, second option, undrafted, and because he went out there and he would just, bam, he – Took no S.
Listen, half the NFL is undrafted.
Yeah. That's what I'm telling you. It's not the talent is always somewhere within this kind of stratosphere.
Yeah.
Then you have uber talented guys like Calvin Johnson, freak of nature.
There's like 12 in the league.
Exactly. Adrian Peterson in his prime. These are freaks of nature, right? For the most part, everyone's basically the same. And it's a matter of how well do you know the playbook and how hard you're going to hit somebody. It comes down to those two things.
Well, you did both. Jonathan Vilma, Fox Sports NFL analyst. Great having you on live, man.
Yeah, finally, right? Feels weird to be around people.
I know. It is, honestly.
Around humans. I'm around humans.
And he came all the way from Miami, which we appreciate. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
You might actually disagree with LeBron on this, Colin.
What?
So there are some players who are having a little issue with the All-Star reserves. One of the snubs that everyone is talking about is Devin Booker. LeBron made it known he was not happy about it. After the reserves were announced yesterday, he tweeted, "Devin Booker is the most disrespected player in our league. Simple as that."
First of all, everybody knows Devin Booker can play LeBron. So he's not disrespected. Everybody knows he's great. He plays in the West. And Phoenix didn't do squat for years with Booker. And then Chris Paul gets there and they win. So you had to make a decision on Chris Paul and Devin Booker. That's what it really came down to.
Well, yeah. So I think it's tough. Obviously, Chris Paul's playing great. And he clearly has had an effect on that team. They are playing great. And Devin Booker was there before. So he's the an obvious reason why they've taken a step up. But it's just Devin Booker has that All-star energy. He is the star of the team.
Well, and Paul George is on restricted minutes, so you could make an argument.
Yeah.
Like, the Paul George thing is,
the snubs are like, that's the problem with playing the snubs. Like, you have to take one out. And this isn't like an Oscar snub where it's like a, you know, a preference. Like, there is some measurements and statistics and records and things that, you know, and the coaches decide on this as well. So,
right.
You know, they are looking at the full scope of things. But Devin Booker is the kind of guy that is a chip on the shoulder guy. So I could see him taking this if he does feel some type of way about it, which, you know, we're going to assume that he does because he's a star and all stars want to be at the All-Star game. He's going to channel this into more motivation. But I really like the Suns this year. They're a fun team to watch, and I think that they are a year away from really being contenders.
Yeah.
So Packers running back Aaron Jones is expected to be the top running back in free agency, and according to the Miami Herald, the Dolphins will be one of the teams pursuing Jones when he hits the market.
Yeah, they got some space, cap space.
The interest is reportedly mutual. He is coming off a second straight 1,000-yard season in Green Bay. He had 201 carries, a career-best 1,104 yards, 9 touchdowns, 47 receptions, 355 yards receiving, and 2 touchdowns.
Miami's got a bunch of, like, B-backs.
They had 5 different runners.
Yeah, they don't have a guy.
This is a great move for the Dolphins, especially if they're going to stick with Tua next year. If, you know, there's no way to get Deshaun Watson. We don't know what's happening with Houston and, you know, how serious the Dolphins are or interested in making that kind of trade anyway.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you don't get Deshaun Watson, let's say you just stick with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tua. What you do is build a fortress up. So in 1 year, if you had to redraft the quarterback, he comes in with a star running back. I already like Miami's tight ends, and I like their receivers.
Yeah.
They need one more receiver.
They need offensive line work.
Yeah, and one more receiver. I actually think their defense is fine. But
yeah.
Remember, they really had one great Flores draft. If you look, and he was interesting because he didn't just draft talent. He drafted a lot of interesting situational players. It was very New England, and they worked. So,
and they also signed some great vets as well. Yeah, I don't think the defense is the side of the ball that they're worried about. They definitely need to build up their offensive line. But having a running back like Aaron Jones, a franchise running back, would be really good for them if they stick with Tua and Fitz. I mean, even if they don't, it's always great to have a franchise running back.
Yeah.
But if you have someone that's of the higher talent level like Deshaun Watson, you may be able to make it work with a running back by committee. So Buck safety Antoine Winfield Jr. debuted a new forearm tattoo in honor of his Super Bowl win. Tom Brady took notice of his very elaborate ink, but he doesn't want Winfield to dedicate too much of his body to one championship. He commented on Bleacher Report's post of the tattoo, saying, make sure you leave some room.
For another Super Bowl.
Yes. You know, Tom is always trying to add another one. I love how active Tom is on
He really is.
On
and
social
he's
media
funny.
Now. Yes, he picks his spots. Like, he's very clever about it. But he's been on it for a while. Remember, we were talking about the Super Bowl commercial, or wait, no, it was the picture.
Oh, the Hulu thing.
Yeah, where he's walking in and out.
I think that's actually one of the best athlete commercials ever. It's so sly.
We didn't know. And we were all like,
it came out on Thursday before the Super Bowl. We're like, is he walking into the stadium? Is he walking out? That was a Hulu. That was a great commercial.
Very tricky, that Tom.
Yeah, very good. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herdline.
I am about done with my mustache. I got to tell you something right now. I know it's handsome. I'm not denying that.
Why don't you just trim it down a little bit?
I don't know. I live by myself right now. I need.
Yeah, you're doing that, but you're going full Hemingway right now.
I just need a lot of help. If it wasn't for the makeup ladies, I would just, you know what I look like? I look like a castaway or something. I look like Tom Hanks in Castaway. I would talk to a volleyball named Wilson. Couldn't get my act straight. All right, been there, done that. Big Ben, some thoughts, and my team tries to fool me and trick me.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, veteran-owned, serving premium coffee to people who love America. Go to blackriflecoffee.com. It's what I drink. The code is HERD, H-E-R-D, 20% off your first coffee club order. Okay, so Ben Roethlisberger, I'm about over it in Pittsburgh. He hasn't had a fundamentally impactful playoff win in a decade. In the two Super Bowls, he played poorly in both. I think he's talented, but hasn't really been committed to film study, off-season work, practice. And in the end, I think the Steelers are now trapped. Yesterday, they admitted they are going to sign him. I would move on. I don't think he's great in the building. I think 23-18, every time he's missed a game. They almost made the playoffs with Duck Hodges. But they're going to keep him. And so we're going to play a game called Been There, Done That, because I'm kind of a cynic on Ben Roethlisberger, who never could beat Peyton Manning and Brady in the big games in the AFC.
All right. True or false? Ben has beaten Tom Brady in a playoff game.
Boy, that's a great question. False. Oh, wait. No, he beat him at the end of a regular season. False.
Ben is 0-2 against Tom Brady in the playoffs.
He's lucky he's 0-2.
True or false? Ben owns the NFL record for completions in a game.
God, this year they had him throwing 65 times a game. Completions in a game. I don't know why the number 51 sticks out to me. I'm going to say true.
It is true, but the number was wrong. 47. Completions in January's wild card loss to the Browns.
God. Well, that's it. How many times did he attempt? What was he, 47 or what, probably 60?
It was a lot. I think it was around 60. True or false? Ben has beaten every team in the NFL besides the Steelers.
Ben has beaten every team in the NFL besides the Steelers. Let me think about this for a second.
He's played for a long time.
I'm going to say false.
True. Ben is one of 8 quarterbacks to beat at least 31 other teams.
Mostly a longevity thing.
Yeah. True or false? Ben has never beaten Peyton Manning in a playoff game.
So he's 0-2 against Brady. I think he beat him in a Super Bowl year. I'm going to say false.
False. Ben beat Peyton's Colts in the 2005 06 divisional round.
All right, there we go.
I got true or false? Ben is the only quarterback with 4+ touchdown passes in back-to-back playoff games. The only quarterback.
Ever? Or in Pittsburgh?
Ever.
The only quarterback with 4. Let me think about this for a second. That seems like too random for our staff to be smart enough to come up with it. I'm going to say that's true.
It is true. 4+ touchdown passes in each of his last 2 playoff games.
Boy, he's not getting a ton of run support.
True or false? Ben has the best winning percentage by a quarterback against a single opponent.
Well, I mean, that's not something to brag about. That's almost it's almost embarrassing that he's had so many freebie wins. The opponents, the Browns, I would say yes, that's true.
It's false. Brady owns the Bills, 32-3.
Oh, my God.
And Ben is 23-3-1 against the Browns.
Can you imagine living in Buffalo?
Yeah, I can't imagine Buffalo. Buffalo folks that are very high on Brady.
That is incredible.
Owns. 32-3.
Brady was 32-3 against the Bills. You know, I remember, I think I'm right on this. I think Brady had 5 picks in a game in Buffalo one year. It was about October, and he was just, I don't even know if they lost it. He was atrocious. I think he had 5 picks in Buffalo once. That may have been one of his few losses.
True or false, Ben has the most seasons with 40+ sacks.
Well, how can we put the number 6 next to it? It's almost
that's
like
that's how many seasons he's had. with 40-plus sacks.
Oh, so that number's right.
Yeah.
The question is does he have more?
Does someone else have more?
You know, most of the time, the quarterbacks get hit like that, they're out of the league, so I'll say true.
False. Russell Wilson, 8 seasons with 40-plus sacks. That's why he's over it.
That is – Russell's got a decade to play.
Is that crazy? It's crazy. True or false, Ben has the most 500-yard passing games in NFL history.
That, first of all, how'd you play today? I threw for 5 football fields. I mean, that doesn't even make sense. In the NFL, the National Football League.
He does have a cannon.
5 has the most 500-plus. First of all, there can't be more than, like, 3. So he probably has 1. I'm going to say yeah, and the answer is 2.
It's true. He has 4 games with 500-plus yards passing, and that's the most. True or false? Ben has never led the NFL in touchdown passes.
I bet he's led in interceptions. I would say... You know what? Ben has never led the NFL in touchdown passes.
Correct. His highest finish was 3rd in 2007 with 32 touchdown passes.
A lot of those were tipped and lucky.
We're giving Ben a hard time. True or false, Ben is the youngest quarterback to win multiple Super Bowls.
First year. I'm going to say false.
False Biscay. Tom Brady holds that title.
Yeah, because Tom was, he wanted his second year and then like his 4th or something, I think. Yeah. Is that it?
That is it.
That was about 70% on that.
You're pretty good.
God.
He has some interesting.
500 yards passing. He's done that 4 times.
4 times.
I'm not to be cynical. I bet you it's against the Bengals or Browns. I mean, doesn't it have to be? That's a lot of yards passing. You know, it's funny because this year we all acknowledge they just threw the ball too much.
Yeah, I mean, they need a significant running game. I mean, with Jonathan Vilma on here earlier, and that's just the point. The Steelers are built with defense and a strong running game. Can't ask. Why would you ask any quarterback to throw 50-plus times in a game? Why is that a good game plan?
Well, my rule is always that if you want your quarterback to last 10 to 15 years, you want him throwing under 35 times a game. Like this year for Kansas City, they had that running back, the rookie out of LSU, and then when he got hurt.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, yeah.
Yeah, like, because what you don't want your quarterback getting into shootouts, right? What you want is you want your quarterback to get lead. I always think a running game is more important than a defense, because if I have a great quarterback, I'm going to score points. The key is, when I score points, can I just keep the ball away from you without forcing my quarterback to drop back more, meaning he's a target? So if you have a legitimate, I mean, one of the strengths with Brady is they've almost always had a reasonably good running game. Translation, Brady rarely throws 45 times a game. Where Ben, in the last couple of years, you're just begging for him to get smoked.
Well, also, think about your offensive line.
Well, that's the other thing.
Having to pass block that many times.
Yeah, coaches will tell you that offensive linemen would rather run block. Hike, going forward, I dictate angles. If you're asking an offensive lineman 45 times a game to backpedal and block a better athlete than him, which defensive ends are better athletes than tackles, he's going to get beat at least 3 or 4 times in a game, and if it's sacks, he looks like a schmuck because you only know offensive linemen for penalties and sacks. So you don't want your offensive linemen backpedaling, playing defense 45. You want them – offensive linemen sit in a weight room to literally hike and drive. That's what they're built. They're not backpedalers.
You're asking too much of everybody.
They're pancake people. That's what they do. Guys, powerful ingredients backed by science get you stronger and leaner, less fatigued. Go to mdriveformen.com today. Refind your prime with mdrive. We'll keep updating you, of course, on Tiger Woods. He is in stable condition. More on that coming up, I'm sure, on Speak for Yourself for Joy and everybody on a Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow. It's the Herd.